Good morning. Well, Jesse Feiler usually comes on and talks about all things tech. And every once in a while, we just want to give him a day off to talk about other cool things that he's up to, because he's up to a lot of cool things. One of the things that he's up to right now is that he is going to tell us he's taking part in a two-night event next week at SUNY Plattsburgh entitled The Artistry and Politics of Uta Hagen, a centennial celebration of her life. Uta Hagen was a renowned American actress and teacher. Her Broadway career began in 1938 and spanned more than six decades, garnering her three Tony Awards. In 1947, she began teaching acting at HB Studio in Greenwich Village. She established herself as one of the most influential acting teachers of the 20th century. Her acting books, Respect for Acting and A Challenge for the Actor, are two of the most important acting books of the 20th century. Interesting note, Uta Hagen's memoir, Sources, is back in print through Jesse and ChamplainArts.com. Jesse joins us this morning to tell us about this event at SUNY Plattsburgh. We are also joined by Ted Brunetti, who is a producer, a director, an acting coach, teacher, and actor. He created the role of Frankie Coffeecake in the Broadway production of A Bronx Tale, a longtime colleague and protege of Uta Hagen. Jesse Feiler, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Wonderful. Welcome aboard. And Ted Brunetti is here as well. Good morning. He joins us by telephone. Ted, hi.
Good morning. A pleasure to be here.
Very nice to have you on the program. Okay, so Jesse, give us the we talked a little bit about publishing and how the book, this particular book, came about and the technical side of it. But give us a sense of what brought you to this project and ultimately in the relationship with Uta Hagen.
Well, I knew Uta for years. She was actually like a second mother to me. And so we worked together, and I worked on her papers, which went to the New York Public Library for Performing Arts, where they're all available there. And I went through all of the letters. And so I know a lot about that material. And, of course, I knew Ted, who had worked with her so much on so many projects. And it seemed to me that this, as part of the centennial events that happened in various places, including New York City, we had done some master classes and some panel discussions about Uta. And I thought maybe we could take that show on the road, more or less, and take it up to Plattsburgh and see what we could do there. I talked to Ted about it. And so Ted is going to be doing a master class in acting using Uta's technique. And all of this is going to be open to the public and free, which is sort of a nice little touch.
Very nice touch.
And then we're going to have a panel discussion about Uta and the Blacklist and how she responded to it and how she survived it. So
a two-night affair. Master acting class with Ted Brunetti takes place on Tuesday, October 22nd at 7 o'clock. And then the Surviving the Blacklist panel discussion is Wednesday, October 23rd at 7, both at Hawkins Hall, I believe, at SUNY Plattsburgh. So when we talk about her acting style, Ted, how would you characterize that?
I refer to Uta as the Meryl Streep of stage. To quote her, many people learn how to act, but few people learn how to be human beings. And I think that was her credo in life, too. Her goal was to be a live human being on stage, not to be a necessarily, quote unquote, performing and showing, but to live. And everything she did, everything she taught, came from her own experiences. To me, she was the most articulate of the great master acting teachers, in that everything that came out of her mouth was her own ongoing challenge to refine her work and the goals within her own work, and her discoveries she would share with other people. And her amazing ability to share at the level that she did is a sign to me of her unbelievable security in herself and what she believed in. And she brought that to her work. She brought that to her life. She practiced what she preached, her ideals in life. She never compromised and had an amazing influence on some of the most renowned actors alive. And it's not only through her own work, but through her teaching.
How I'm curious of what you think about this, Ted, of how much of acting can be taught.
You can't teach talent. You're born with that, but someone can teach you what to do with it. And the one thing Uta said the first day I was ever in a room with her when I said, I'm in the right place, she said, everything you need to play every character you're ever going to play is already within you. No one's going to teach you to be human. But having keener insight into your own humanity and others' humanity around you is the source from which you can then bring to your work. And that was her life quest. To the day she died, she was a student and constantly learning. She never thought she had arrived, and that demand of excellence, she first and foremost embarked upon herself and demanded of those around her. So,
in a career that brought her 3 Tony Awards, Jesse, and the fact that just less than 10 years after she started in the profession, she was teaching acting. What does that say about her interest in that craft, do you think?
In which craft? Acting or teaching or both?
Both. But especially caring enough. I mean, that idea of the book called Respect for Acting tells you that she had great respect and wanted to share that respect.
Absolutely. And as Ted said, the whole point of her work as an actress was to help students and professionals to create living human beings on stage, doing things that are anticipated in the script. I mean, the script tells you what you're going to do, but it's a matter of making it realistic, and it looks as if it is a human being on stage saying those words, doing those things for the first time. And I think that's probably the most difficult thing for actors to start to learn.
The big role was Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
What
were the others?
The part that she was known for most, I think, was when she played Desdemona in Othello with Paul Robeson and Jose Ferrer, who was then her husband.
And this was what year?
This was in the 40s.
In the 40s.
And it was people, I remember meeting Uta after shows, going out to dinner or something, and people would come up to her after she had just acted her heart out in Virginia Woolf or one of the other plays, and they would say, "Miss Hagen, it's an honor to meet you. I saw you in Othello," which at that point would have been 60 years previously. Mm. The Othello was a major event in the American theater, if only for the fact, so many things made it so significant, but it was the first time the part had been played by an African-American in the U.S.
Mm. And an first interracial kiss on stage, I believe, as well.
Yes.
Wow.
And also to chime in on that, I know after having come to New York, every person I've ever met, and I'm talking major Broadway producers and performers and theater people, have said to me that the singular most thrilling time they ever spent in the theater was being there when Uta Hagen played Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. I mean, I've heard that so many times. Of course, those people are less and less because of the years, but I remember being so impressed by that, by how often I've heard that from people who actually had the privilege of being a member of the audience during that run.
Talk a little bit about the Blacklist, Jesse, and what impact that had on her career.
Well, what the impact was that she tells in one of the letters that we'll be talking about at the session at SUNY, is she writes a letter. She was in a play called Tovarish. It was based on a movie. And in it, she and her husband, Herbert Berghoff, play a couple who are Russian emigres. And she loved it. It was wonderful, a light comedy, and beautiful production photos we have of it. And the production in Washington, D.C. was picketed by the American Legion. This is right when the Blacklist was starting. And in one of the letters that she wrote, she describes how they were picketed, and as soon as the article came out about the picketing in Variety, they lost their advance sale. Every booking that they had, I think they had a dozen bookings, this was in the summertime, mm-hmm. over the course of a summer, every booking was canceled. And, you know, when you, so we have the letter and we can talk about it, and this is not someone saying, this happened to me, you know, 20 years ago. The letter is, this is what happened yesterday. This is what happened outside the theater last night. And she didn't let it, she kept going. She acted and worked and taught where she could and adhered to her standards. And basically, I like to think, you know, in terms of the Blacklist, she won, because a lot of people don't even know. This is one of the reasons we're doing the program. A lot of people don't even know now what the Blacklist was.
Mm.
And it's, I think it's very important to talk about it.
She is quoted as saying that of the Blacklist, that fact made her pure. Do you think that had an effect on her acting, or her relationship and her teaching of it, or philosophy of it?
I think it just strengthened her resolve to stick to her principles and her ideals and the pursuit. It challenged her, as it did everybody's sense of what they believed in and whether they would compromise or not. Anita was relentlessly uncompromising in her ideals and principles. And even if you were to disagree with her for any particular point, I think you must respect the way she lived her life, which very few people do these days. And her the way that she stuck to her own principles in the face of all of that says something about her, and she applied that same strength of character to her work, channeled it into her work, and I think it just strengthened that all the more
and
over the years.
What she also, in both of her books, she describes, she thinks the Blacklist in some ways was a blessing, because she was right at the time in her career, this was after Othello, mm-hmm. right at the time in her career where Hollywood came knocking on her door. And as soon as she was blacklisted, there was no one there.
Right.
So she didn't make a movie until she made The Other in the 60s, I think.
Yeah.
So she didn't, as she's put it, she avoided those temptations. I mean, she avoided them because they weren't there. So in terms of her work, it meant she also, at that time, as she always did, she was very picky about what she did. And the array of what she possibly could have done was smaller than that, otherwise.
But it's fascinating when you look at her career in a totality of I mentioned Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, you mentioned Othello, working in the Odets play, Country Girl. But then she was nominated for an Emmy for One Life to Live. So you are also an actor at that point, just trying to keep the lights on.
Trying to keep the lights on. But also, one of the things that she said, because she usually played very powerful women on stage,
mm-hmm. yes.
she described them often as monsters. But she was very good at that, and she was not a monster in real life by any means. But she loved to play comedy, and she was very good at it. But she didn't have an opportunity to do much comedy. The last play she did was Six Dance Lessons in 6 Weeks with David Hyde Pierce, which was a wonderful light comedy.
Ted, one of the things I found interesting is you look at the list of people that she taught, Matthew Broderick, Jason Robards, Christine Lottie, Sigourney Weaver, this is a partial list, of course, Liza Minnelli, Whoopi Goldberg, Jack Lemmon, Charles Nelson Reilly. I would have paid to be in that class. George Segal, John Stewart, Al Pacino. That's pretty impressive.
And if you would have paid to be in that class with Charles, Charles did a one-man show about his career on stage. And I think you can find it on YouTube. And in it, he does an impression of Uta as a teacher in class, which is It's probably the most accurate representation of her teaching there is.
Now, I've heard that impression because, and this sounds like name dropping, and I apologize for doing this, but one time I somehow, I don't know how this happened, but I ended up having lunch with Julie Harris and Charles Nelson Reilly. And he was telling that story.
Yes.
And it is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
And it is true.
Oh, and may I, a couple of things that I'll share with you that I've never forgotten and I've adopted myself. There is an old phrase that goes, someone once said, those who can't do, teach. And Uta would say, no. Those who can't do, shouldn't teach. And and she lived by that. And I believe in that.
Yeah.
And also just to share back with what Jesse was saying, I believe it's true. If you look at the characters Uta played, Uta did not play victims. And you asked in the relevancy to her career the Blacklist had. Uta, she lived that in her personal life as well. But I do not believe that is a coincidence.
And
Uta she was not famous for playing victims on a fictional or on stage. Neither was she a victim in life to what happened to her.
She was... She played characters who were in charge. And many people over the years even came up to her and said, oh, I saw you in Long Day's Journey Into Night. You were wonderful. And she never played that part.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever talked to her about it, but I think the reason she never played that part is that she didn't want to play someone who was not in control.
Mm.
I think that's what it was. But people swear, I've seen it in print, that she played the part. She never played that part. And there's a fan letter in the archive from someone, and at the top of it she's written in pencil, I never played the part. You know. The annotations of Uta's letters are wonderful. I think we'll talk about a few of them in the session.
Well, this all takes place, this is fascinating, this all takes place Tuesday, October 22nd, Wednesday, October 23rd. At SUNY Plattsburgh, and it's at Hawkins Hall, right in the recital hall of Hawkins Hall. It's free. It's open to the public. On Tuesday night, there will be a master acting class with Ted Brunetti. How do you see that playing out, Ted?
I am as honored and thrilled to pass the torch as much as possible and do what Uta did, which is share her knowledge with other people. No one owns the truth, and to as she would say, and to be... have insight and gifts to pass over to other people is the goal. And I'm extremely excited. I've never been there before. And the entire series of events, I can't wait to do. And I hope some folks will come out and join us.
Oh, I hope they do. It's also then on Wednesday night is Surviving the Blacklist panel discussion. Jesse will be there. Dr. Ray Carman, who's Associate Professor of Political Science. And Ted, you'll be a part of that as well. So you can find out information. You have information on your website, champlainarts.com. We have a link on our website so people can find it.
Thank you. And we also have to mention Karen Hildebrand, who put this together.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Wonderful event. It's a celebration of the artistry and politics of Uta Hagen, a centennial celebration of her life taking place at SUNY Plattsburgh. Jesse Feiler, Ted Brunetti, I thank you both very, very much. Have a wonderful event. Sounds great.
Thanks.
Thank you. You're listening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.